School needs to be an environment in which kids can go to and feel safe. And so one of my suggestions for schools and programs is for providers and school administrators to promote engaging, creative learning as a way to make school a very fun place to be.
There's students who have one teacher and they come to school. They deal with the entire 7.5 hours because of one teacher. So if each student has one teacher who's loving on them and wrapping their arms around them, many times they'll come and they might even struggle in the other classes, but we can get them through the front door in the morning because they don't want to let that one teacher down or that one administrator or secretary.
And it's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, we are devoting our show to an examination of absenteeism, chronic absenteeism in area schools, the reasons behind it, the impact on students and the community, and finding solutions. And in this segment of the program, we're going to look at the impact on students and the community. Ken Smythe-Lystico, who is Assistant Director of the University of Pittsburgh Office of Child Development and Director of Ready Freddy, is sticking around with us for this segment. We also want to welcome in a kindergarten teacher at Pittsburgh Faison School, Katie Carroll. Katie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And also with us is Maria Searcy. She's a parent of two students at Pittsburgh Obama School, parent advocate, member of A-Plus Schools Parent Nation, and a volunteer in the Pittsburgh Public Schools as a tutor. Maria, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's nice to be here.
And again, we encourage your participation in this segment. You can call us and join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number 412-246-2002. How is the issue of chronic absenteeism in area schools impacting your community? And again, we're looking for ideas from members of the community as well, so feel free to contribute your thoughts to the conversation today here on Essential Pittsburgh. In our first segment, ladies and gentlemen, we learned about the pervasiveness of absenteeism nationwide. But what is the impact on the student and the community? If you're chronically absent in the early grades, are you likely to repeat the pattern? And let's start with Katie, our teacher here.
I'm the kid's first teacher, so I feel like I'm really lucky. I try to really establish relationships with parents so that the kids are really excited about coming to school. I think it was Dr. Lane who talked about making that connection with the teacher and making sure that the kids have exciting things to do. And I really try to make that part of my classroom every day so that the kids do want to come to school. And I do think it's important because of those early learning skills. If they don't get them in kindergarten, first or second grade, then they're going to have academic problems later on.
Katie, do you get reaction from parents whose children miss kindergarten and say, well, oh, it's only kindergarten? And how do you reinforce establishing good attendance habits?
I try to build relationships with parents and the kids. And like I said, the kids go home and talk about what we do. So then they're excited. And I tell them, tomorrow we might be doing this. Tomorrow we will be doing this. So they get excited and go home. Well, I can't miss mom. I have to go to school. I can't miss dad. I have to go to school because we're doing whatever it is I said we were going to do. So I think that helps them become excited. And then we build such a community in the classroom that they want to be part of that. They don't want to miss out. And so I don't have parents saying it's only kindergarten, but I think the kids go home and say, wow, it's kindergarten and I really need to go.
And this really sets the pattern for future learning opportunities.
Absolutely.
Before I get to Maria, our parent advocate, I want to welcome in a caller. Again, our number is 412-246-2002, and we have Eric in Pittsburgh on the line. Eric, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, I was just calling about the issuing of citations for truancy to the parents of school children of Pittsburgh Public Schools, which I think doesn't help the situation at all. It just criminalizes a large number of parents.
There is the school of thought, and let's find out what you all think about it. The point that Eric's bringing up is that you're concerned about the idea that you're threatening students as opposed to maybe finding better, more positive ways to encourage them to attend school, Eric?
Well, that and that it doesn't help the parent when the parent has warrants because the kid is not going to school. It doesn't help the kid go to school anymore to have warrants out for the parents' arrest because they couldn't afford to pay truancy citations. So we have to come up with a more, like you say, a positive solution, a way to encourage our students to attend school regularly and to get our parents involved without criminalizing them as they have been done in Westinghouse High School over the last 4 years. I believe the school district sent a letter of apology because there were so many citations issued.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. Maria, you're a parent advocate. Talk about your interactions with other parents. And to what Eric is saying, does he have a legitimate concern here? Does he speak for others?
Of course, he has a legitimate concern. And I think that we have to understand that we have different levels of understanding. We talk about socioeconomics and cross classes of parents. Some parents do look at some of the correspondence that comes from schools as indicting, and they don't understand that, you know, there are rules and regulations and guidelines concerning attendance. So I think there lies an opportunity for us to have more talk, more real talk in education surrounding the effects, the long-term effects of a chronic absenteeism, that if there were more forums in schools where parents were invited in to talk specifically about absenteeism and how it affects children's being promise ready and, just long-term effects of, entering high school and going on to college, that would probably make parents more comfortable when they receive these letters and correspondence and warrants about truancy. It's just about, collectively having everyone at the table and understanding exactly the purpose of rules and regulations and going forward how they affect children.
Okay, and if you could clear up something for our listeners, when you talk about the parents being unaware, are they unaware that their students, that their children maybe are not attending school, that they may be cutting school without the knowledge of the parents? Or are you saying that they are not aware of the requirements?
I think it's both. And let me just address parents not being aware. You know, I take the opportunity to say that any parent can go into a school and observe a classroom and understand that a lot of times I've seen teachers in this district who are so effective with classroom management. But conversely, I've seen the opposite. And so I think if parents have the opportunity to visit their students' classrooms and see that some classrooms are mismanaged, and that some,
when you say you're saying teachers are mismanaging.
There's a lot of room and there's a lot of opportunities for teachers to improve practice and to be more engaging, to use things that are
specifically do they need to do?
I think that, you know, there needs to be more preparedness. There needs to be more opportunities. And I'm talking specifically middle and high school. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, when you're teaching a subject, let's say math, where there's an opportunity to do more hands-on when you're talking about, like, math concepts. You know, children need visuals, and I'm talking about children who are more at a lower learning status, who maybe have, some cognitive disabilities or some challenges. So I've observed classrooms where I thought that, there needs to be more preparedness by teachers, more self-evaluation. I think that, you know, we have to understand that, liken it to a church pew. When a pastor looks out at his congregation and empty pews are an indictment to the teaching ministry, then likewise, a teacher, sometimes I think that we have to say that, you know, empty seats in a high school or a middle school class is an indictment on a teacher.
We're talking with Maria Searcy. She's a parent of two students at Pittsburgh Obama School, parent advocate. How much accountability do the parents need to accept in this situation? For example, when you say that some parents are not only not aware of their children not attending class, which could happen to any mm-hmm. parent, but when you also say that they are not aware of the requirements, some people might have a hard time getting their minds around that. Why would a parent not know what the attendance requirements are for their child?
Simply because, you know, there are a lot of correspondence. Like, for example, when a child reaches middle school, what's in a book bag becomes kind of complicated. Mm. You know, so you go from self-contained classrooms where you have one teacher to all type of correspondence. And sometimes you just don't have time to read correspondence. That's where you have an opportunity to have parent forums where something is specifically explained. So that would be helpful in parents knowing exactly. Like you send home, for example, a promise ready pamphlet, and you know parents miss it, or the middle school child doesn't bring that home, then that's an opportunity to maybe have more discussions or workshops to explain that concept. So I think the onus is absolutely on parents, but it has to be collectively where schools are partnering with parents to explain these concepts that are affecting chronic absenteeism.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join our conversation about chronic absenteeism here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Let's go to Grant on a car phone. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, hi. I had a question. I mean, they say half of life is just showing up. And
I've heard that.
I don't understand. Half of life, the success in life is just showing up.
Right.
I don't understand why you have to be told that you have to go to school. I mean, this country's full of immigrants that came here 100 years ago, for example, all the Caucasian people. And how I don't think they got a letter. It was just, you know, August, get ready to go to school. Why do you have to be told? How is this different from, say, generations, four generations now?
Well, Ken, you might be able to address this. Traditionally, what have we seen over the decades? And does Grant have a point about past generations maybe staying more on top of attendance and rules?
Well, what we talked about in the first segment is, first of all, what is the definition of someone who misses? Is it, you know, these what we think of as truancy, where someone is skipping school, or unexcused absences? So part of the gap that we have is an awareness that a missed day is a missed day. And there's real reasons behind many of these missed days. Children with asthma, unsafe walking paths, a child that is bullied at school. So there's lots of reasons why a child misses. And it's the collection of these over time that add up. So a lot of times we don't see cases where a child's missing multiple days in a row, but we see these missing one or two days a month that adds up to this 18 days that makes it even more impactful on their education. So it's an awareness around the number of days, and that any missed day, as Grant said, is a missed day of opportunity.
Let's go to Mary in Mount Lebanon. Mary, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Mary. Are you there?
Hi. This is Mary from Mount Lebanon. I was a public school teacher in the state of California for about 15 years, and I'm living here in Pittsburgh now, and I'm absolutely disgusted with what goes on in the schools, and I'd like to give you a couple examples. Just in my own neighborhood, children in first grade are being taught the parts of speech. Second grade, they're starting handwriting. They're reading Charlotte's Web in second and third grade. This is too soon for these concepts to be taught. Why is this? Why is there this big push? There's a girl in my neighborhood in first grade. She was taught parts of speech. I asked her what a noun was. She had no idea. I asked her what a verb was. She had no idea.
So you're saying that
handwriting in second grade, no. Fourth grade after Christmas or holiday break. What's wrong with these schools?
Well,
brain isn't ready for this stuff.
Let's bring in our let's let our teacher, Katie, respond to what you're saying. And Katie is a kindergarten teacher, Katie Carroll. She's at Pittsburgh Faison School. What about what Mary is saying? Are some of these concepts being taught too soon?
I think that depends on the child. I think that depends on the school. I think it depends on a lot of different things. You know, learning should be fun at kindergarten and first and second grade. And you can teach almost anything when you make it fun. Would I teach parts of speech? Probably not. But we do teach writing, we do teach reading, we do teach deep thinking, we do teach them to question. So it is very different. I think that's very true, that it's very different from when I grew up and I went to school. They're doing things sooner and sooner, and I do agree that kindergarten should still be a place of play and fun, and they are 5 years old and they are still babies in a lot of ways. But we do have to get them prepared for a world that we didn't grow up in. And, you know, I didn't have the technology that's now out there, so maybe we need to push them a little bit more.
Does absenteeism have a larger societal impact?
Yes, I think so. I do. I agree with that.
What happens when an absent child does show up? How disruptive is this to the remainder of the class that you're teaching?
It depends on how long they've been absent. How many days? Is it once a week? Is it once a month? Is it, you know, it varies from child to child, but it does take a toll on teachers, I think, because I don't want to slow down the progress of the other children. So I take my prep time, I take my lunch time, I take my time to do the things that need to be done with that singular child until they are caught up to where they need to be.
And Maria, you have two daughters in school. What's their reaction when they attend regularly and another student is often absent?
I think the Pittsburgh Public Schools does a great job with differentiating instruction and concepts called total clustering. So there's those concepts within classrooms to accommodate kids catching up. There might be a misconception that, you know, teachers are teaching on one level, but I know in middle school and high school, and you know, you get this. The best feedback you get from just questioning your kids and knowing from being a parent involved in observing that those concepts, like I said, of differentiating instruction and total clustering account for students who miss days and ways to catch up.
And we do that in elementary school as well. Mm-hmm. We have the differentiated instruction, and we take that into consideration when kids are coming in and need some extra help.
If I could just add to Grant's comment.
Sure, very quickly, please.
I think when Grant went to school, there probably wasn't as many magnets. So getting there involves transportation also. So we have to remember that transportation always becomes a problem when school starts. So we may have to make sure the buses are on time, because kids are inclined to leave a bus stop in inclement weather and go back home. And that accounts for absenteeism also.
And that's a very good point. Just the logistics involved.
You're right.
Well, we need to take a break, but I want to thank Ken Smythe-Lystico, Assistant Director at the University of Pittsburgh Office of Child Development, for joining us. Ken, thank you so much. Katie Carroll is a kindergarten teacher at Pittsburgh Faison School. And Katie, it's been a pleasure having you with us. Thank you so much for your input. And Maria Searcy, a parent of two students at Pittsburgh Obama School, parent advocate, and a volunteer tutor in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us. Coming up, we look for solutions to the problem of chronic absenteeism in area schools. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.